Morning. Well, we've got an intense day today. I feel intense, and we're going to look at an intense theme for the year this morning. So I'm very glad you're in God's house today. It's nice to see some people I don't know yet, and hopefully I'll get to know you before the day is over. We have a couple things, just topics I want to touch on just a moment before we go into the message and into our theme for the year. The first pertains to the handouts you have. You should have some handouts, two of them. One is a schedule of Bible reading daily for the year. And this is a sample. This is not the only kind of Bible reading schedule that you can get, but it is a sample for you that you can take and begin to use. I will be discussing getting into the Word of God today, and so here is a tool that you can get started today immediately. You also have another sheet which is entitled Online Bible Reading Resources, and this also has a couple of Bible reading plans along with other resources online that you can connect with so that you can get started in a deeper way connecting with the Word of God. This is by no means exhaustive. It is a sampling of what you can find online. The other thing is that I think you were given, if I'm not mistaken, perhaps one per family or something like that with these sheets. If you need more, we should have more of these sets on the tables in the entrance so that you can access them, okay? The other thing I'd like to comment on, get my bookmark, I'm going to need that during the sermon. The other thing I'd like to comment on is the fasting. A week ago, we started fasting and called you to consider curtailing your food, spending your time in prayer, and making this a season of drawing closer to the Lord. And already in the first 7 days of this, personally, I have felt as though the experience has been worth it entirely, even if nothing else of significance spiritually happens for the next 2 weeks. I don't think that's going to be the case, but already this has been so. And I hope that those that have challenged themselves and have prayed with the Lord over these last 7 days have seen the spiritual benefits. If you would still like to consider doing this, you certainly can do like a 1 week fast. You can do a 3 day fast. You can do 2 weeks, whatever. We encourage you, first of all, of course, as we said, to consider your medical condition, like diabetes or something like this, if it has to be taken into consideration and you need to see a doctor. But barring those problems, if you would like to pursue the fasting, you can see information also on those tables in the entrance. And I would believe that this would be a very, very good spiritual exercise for you. Now, on to our theme for 2012 and our first message on this theme. You can see that this year our theme is Into the Word of God, Delve in 2012. Can we get that verse? We have a slide. Jenny, we've got a slide of that verse or an image of Colossians 3. So I'm going to have you turn to Colossians 3. This is going to be our theme verse for the year. It's on page 1835 in your Bible. Page 1835, Colossians 3. We're going to be focusing on verse 16. As I said, our theme for the year is Into the Word of God, Delve in 2012. It's not easy to rhyme with 12. There's not many words you can pick. Well, delve, we made work. I didn't want to go to something kind of corny like, you know, improve yourself in 2012 or something like that. You know, that'd be kind of hollow. So, our theme verse is Colossians 3, verse 16. Let's all read this one verse together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Let's all look at the screens. Let's lift up our heads and look at the screens and say it one more time. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. You'll see there's kind of two components to this verse. One focuses on the message of the Word of God, and it's urging us to let the Word of God dwell in us richly, and we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. The other half of the verse talks about singing songs and hymns and using music and melodies and poetry and things like this in order to lift our spirit and to bring it closer to the Lord. So this is going to be our two-prong approach this year as we consider our theme of delving into God's Word. There is a cell phone company, a cell phone provider that has as its major marketing campaign a guy that walks around and he speaks into the phone a question. Can you hear me now? And he's in all different locations, all different situations, and he's constantly checking to see if the message is received. In our culture today, in our society, that has been ubiquitous. We must be able to receive the message. Life will get very bad very quickly if we do not receive the message from the party that intends for us to receive it. Or if, on the other hand, we intend to send a message to a party and they don't receive it. That was the situation I found myself in last night. I didn't intend on it becoming a sermon illustration, but it turned into one because last night I went home after the Saturday evening service, and as is my custom, I set down my keys for the house and the car and the church on the little desk that serves as a staging point before I go outside. And I kind of emptied my pockets, and then I went toward the kitchen, and there was Esau, the dog, and I saw Esau, and I said, "Oh, Esau, you have to go out?" And he said, "Yes, that would be wonderful." Actually, he kind of gave me that look. I've learned to interpret dog looks and thoughts from Connie, so I understood his look was saying, yes, I need to go out. So I took him outside, and as I pulled the door shut, because we don't want any more of the cold air into the house in winter than we have to, we can't leave it cracked. We have to close the door entirely, even though it's balmy for January. I pull the door shut, and immediately the thought strikes me, oh no. I check the doorknob, and it is true, I have locked myself out of the house. Thankfully, I had my coat on and my gloves. Now, I am not that much of a bonehead that I go doing this all the time. I had changed the locks on the door the week before because we had some faulty locks, and I redid all the locks. And I wasn't used to the fact that this has a different mechanism than the old lock, and we close the door, and here I am outside. I did have my cell phone. Reception of my message was critical. I send it to Connie. I send it to Michael. And they'd better be on the other end of the message, right? I texted in bold caps, locked out! Exclamation point, Doug. And I'm standing outside with the dog a few minutes, and of course, the Lord had it have very nice timing. I didn't have to get very cold. Connie and the boys show up, and I'm standing out back by the barbecue on the back porch with Esau, you know, and Connie comes out of the house with her cell phone, and she says, "Is that for real?" She had just gotten the text. "Is that real? Are you really locked out?" And I said, "Yes." We have a society that is not just urgent about getting messages. We have a society that's totally drowning spiritually in messages. You know, I've been talking for many years about the paganizing of America. We've been understanding through various illustrations over time how there is a very rapid decline in commitment to Christianity and commitment to God in our culture. We have yet more evidence of that this morning. And I think it is another call to commitment to Christ by people that really want to know God. And people that really want to make their faith mean something to them need to take action today. I'm going to share with you the information that is coming out now about this youngest generation that is growing up and maturing and becoming young adults in our culture today. I have said before that it is known that many 20-somethings heading on into their 30s now are the first generation in America that are largely unchristianed, non-churched. And we are starting to see the attitudes of these people and the mindsets that they hold because of this. Decades of Darwinism and evolution, years and years of materialism, emphasis on money and success in life, and material objects over spiritual development and seeking of things of the spirit and soul. A world that has gone very puerile, very childish, and very immoral is taking its toll. And this youngest generation has become numb to the things of the spirit. They become indifferent to the things of God. I'll give you a couple examples here. Over at Gold's Gym, I moved over to Gold's Gym because I no longer play racquetball, and so there was no advantage in staying at the other health club. But over at Gold's Gym, I know that there are some members from our church here, and there are other people I know from the community, and I'm letting it be known to these individuals that the music is atrocious. The music is extremely immoral, very worldly, very carnal. 3/4 of all of the songs, as I tabulate it, as I analyze the lyrics of every song that are on a radio station or that are in a public facility, as I listen to those lyrics, it is very clear that they are full of not just sexual innuendo, direct sexual commentary, an invitation to filthiness and carnality. And I've complained to the management and encouraged others to complain to the management of that facility. Another example of what's happening in our culture and our society is when we have in California a new movement that is starting that no doubt will be coming. Some of our people have already heard about it, and it's called gender liberation. The idea that it's not just good enough to respect an individual's choice of sexuality, but that with gender liberation, a person gets to be whatever sex they want to be any given day. That they just wake up and decide, today I feel like a man, or today I feel like I want to be a woman. Can you imagine the chaos in the immorality to ensue with that kind of mindset? This is the culture that North America is turning into very rapidly. Spiritually, what's happening in the minds of many people is that because of this constant barrage, this incessant drowning in an ungodly, immoral atmosphere, many individuals have decided to turn off completely regarding spiritual matters. Their mindset is, so what? And that is the label that is being given to this cohort of people. The so what generation. I'm going to share with you some statistics that discuss this. 44% told a Baylor University religion survey that they spend no time seeking eternal wisdom. 44% said they're seeking eternal wisdom never. 19% said it's useless to search for meaning. 46%, we're getting close to half, told a survey of Lifeway Research that they never wonder whether they will go to heaven. 28% in the same survey said, it's not a major priority in my life to find my deeper purpose. Our culture is churning out people that are disconnected with God, that are convinced that life is nothing more than chemicals in the material world and universe. These people are concluding that there is very little to live big for, except maybe physical pleasures. Summarizing the mindset and the effects of this generation, how can this be happening? David Kinnaman, who is president of the Barna Group, a Christian research company, said that these people are uninterested in trying to talk a diverse set of friends into a shared viewpoint in a culture that celebrates an idea that all truths are equally valid. Personal experience and personal authority matter most. Hence, scripture and tradition are quaint, irrelevant artifacts. Instead of followers of Jesus, they're followers of 5,000 unseen friends on Facebook or Twitter. His conclusion, I think Jesus is getting lost in the data stream. Those two statements are very telling. That among especially the young adults, their authority has gone from the tried and true Word of God to the current trend, and to the opinion of their peers, their faceless friends on Twitter, and their Facebook friends. Also, Jesus is getting lost in the data stream. If we were to compare the average individual's contact with the Word of God on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, in comparison to the amount of worldly, secular messages and the amount of information that is perceived over the course of a day, a week, a month, a year, it would be a raging river of secular media versus merely a trickle of God's Word. And that is why our culture, and that is why many young Christians are failing in faith. Now, here's the reality. God created us with minds that are very moldable, very shapeable. Every bit as much as if a person takes a piece of clay and uses their hands to shape and mold it, we cannot but help but be influenced by messages that come into our mind. When those messages come over and over again, When they bombard us, it shapes our thinking, just like hands would shape clay. This process happens whether we want it to or not. We do have some degree of control because we can choose what we are going to allow ourselves to experience. And that's where this year's theme hinges, and why it's so important is because we are going to be making a choice to have more of God's word in our lives. If we don't do that, the secular stream of media and information is going to wash the Lord away. And that's intolerable for Christians. As we take a look at our text, in verse 16, there's two words I especially want to focus on. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." First word, dwell. As I was thinking about it, you know, the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the word dwell is your home. It's a dwelling place. It's where you live. So the Word of God is asking us, give permission for the Word of God to come in and abide with us and live with us. Now, your home, your dwelling, you open up in different ways to different people. Like, for instance, there are some individuals that are more distant relatives, and you may love them. You may like spending time with them. And these individuals come to see you intermittently. Once in a while, they stop by. Maybe you had some of these relatives over for Christmas. And though these people come and you have a nice interaction with them and you enjoy this, then they leave once again. And you don't have this daily contact with them. On the other hand, if you're married, there is your spouse. Or if you're dating, young single person dating, you've maybe got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And it's your strong desire to spend time with this person. You love this person. Well, you loved your relative too, but you've got a special interest in this person. And if they're your spouse, you may have been spending decades with this person, getting to know them better and better. Every day is a new experience added to your long list of time shared together. The frequency of contact is continuous. And the amount of knowledge and involvement with this person is extremely intense. Why? Because your spouse dwells with you. They don't come to visit. They dwell within your home. Now let's apply this to the Word of God. And this might be a little painful, personally, to admit. But we need to be honest. God's Word, for many of us, might be like the relative who comes to visit short term. We may have intermittent contact with the Word of God. We may say, well, I'm going to look into it when I have an opportunity. We may have this weekly service as our primary time with the Lord, and that we never spend other time with God's word. But it is the relative who comes to visit and then leaves until next Sunday's visit. We're being asked in the word to change that pattern. We're being told that God's Word, which is the power to completely transform our lives and to give us a spirit of joy and contentment and a strength of character and a new vision of what God has for us in life and so many other riches that God has for us. And we're being asked, don't treat the Word of God like this relative that comes once in a while. Invite it in to dwell with you every day so that you get to know Him closer and closer, so that you have a very intense love for your Savior Jesus. How are you going to do that? That's where the word delve into the word comes into play. In verse 16, it also says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As I was thinking about the riches of God's word and what He wants for us, another illustration came to mind, and that was of the fact that a lot of the natural resources that God has given us in this world are underground. They're buried. And in order to get to them, humanity has to delve into the earth to pull them up. By delving, it's not just scratching the surface. If we want to get gold and silver, if we're seeking oil, petroleum products, and natural gas, if we want to get to these rare earth minerals that are so difficult to get and then to refine, because I'll tell you what, if we didn't go after those, if we didn't dig down, and if we didn't apply ourselves as a race to get those things out of the ground, we wouldn't be looking at this on a large screen TV, and you wouldn't be having your cell phone to send those messages. These things must be sought. We have to delve. We have to dig. We have to push down in order to bring these things up, to get these treasures. There's a very strong parallel between that and the supernatural treasures of the Word of God. This book has treasures. This book has the Spirit of God and the power of God to change your life and bring you countless blessings. And here's what many people are doing. They barely scratch the surface. It sits on a shelf. It's taken out very intermittently. And they never get the riches. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 13. This is on page 1519. Page 1519. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to go to verse 44. I want you to notice that this discussion of Jesus is going to say, if you want the kingdom of God, if you want all God has to offer, you need to do some digging and you need to do some searching. In verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This speaks to the precious, precious nature of the Word of God, the message of Christ. The Word of God has the power to completely transform your life. But in order to get it, you need to do some digging. You need to do some delving, some earnest looking into it. It's not laying on the surface. It's not in the air like oxygen. God has provided many critical resources for us that everyone must have, and they're immediately accessible to all people. The kingdom of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is found within the message. And it's up to you to dig in, to discover it, and to find it. We are dealing with a culture and a world that is getting absolutely inundated, being swept away with worldliness, immorality, ungodliness, and also apathy, indifference, and despair. If we are going to be effective, if we are going to be saved from getting swept away, we must increase the flow of the Word of God. We must invite it in to dwell in our hearts and minds in a larger way. That is why this year I'm asking you, 1 year. Give 1 year of your life every day in the Word of God. 1 year. Ask that the Spirit of God show you the truth of God's Word and give Him the opportunity 1 year, every day, open a Bible, get your face in it, go online, read it online, get the iPod download, do it. I assure you that there are people in this group that have been like this their entire life. Delve in. Do not be afraid. Why? When you started living with your spouse, you didn't know all that much about them, but you started in. And it was through daily life that you've come to know and know them better and better and love them deeper and more richly. You may not know much about the Bible. There may be a whole lot more you don't know about God and His Word than you do know. But ignorance doesn't stop people from getting married. And ignorance should not stop you from jumping into the Word. I'm calling on 100 people from this church to commit to joining a Bible study group. 100 people. Again, you may never have been a part of a group study or a group Bible time. I want 100 people to do this. We need to take substantive, life-changing action in a culture that is trying to sweep Christ away. The Lord does not want you to become a casualty to the world's media bombardment and to suffer because you're not getting enough of Christ in the Word. This is what we're asking. 1 year. Commit yourself in your heart right now. Make a vow that says, I will. Not the person next to you. Not the people on the other side of the church. I will, for 1 year, see what God can do in my life if I will honor Him and look into His Word daily to invite God to dwell in my heart. That is our first step of this new year. We desperately need in this culture at this time to into the Word of God delve in 2012. Amen.